Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very happy to be here in the house that you've given us, set aside for worship in this hour. Grieving, Lord, that it could well be the last place we'll ever gather together this side the Golden Shore, and we're happy to know that too, that time is running out, that after 6,000 years we are here to see the end of the ages, to see the golden dawn break, to see the household of God come together, to see the purpose of God manifested as never before. We appreciate that very much, Lord, that we've been allowed a part in it. And we pray, Lord, because we've been allowed a part, we might truly manifest that we are a privileged people by acquiescing, bowing at all times, Lord, to the leading of the Spirit, to not just live in that realm, but to walk in the Spirit of God also. May we conform, Lord, to your image in all respects and all ways. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's certainly nice to be here with you all and see Brother and Sister Kasurik and LaVon's brother and all the good friends that are here. It's very, very wonderful. Now, I don't know just how far I'm going to get tonight in reading from Knoweth It Not, but we'll just take it as it comes and comment on it as we go along, as the Lord enables us. Brother Branham says, now let us read from Revelation, the 3rd chapter, just a portion, to say that we read the Bible, because what I say might fail, but what he says won't fail. I don't know where to start from, what to do, where to go. But let us read the Laodicean Church Age, verses 14 to 19. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and need nothing, and knowest not thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And, of course, where he says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, it means the same thing, to come for the eye salve, which is breadcrumbs, it's a poultice, the word of God, that thou mayest see. Now, you'll notice that all the things that they're lacking are literally available, and there will be those who avail themselves of without doubt. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. And repent, of course, is the change of the mind, and this is the age of the eagle, the mind age. This is the age of the changing of the mind. Many people are a little afraid because they find themselves growing in a knowledge, and they think, well, what is this anyway? I'm just not where I was because I don't think the same way. Well, that's wonderful. It's good that you don't, because you're not supposed to. You're supposed to have a fuller revelation. Now, he says, you know, somewhere in there, I was reading, it'll excuse me just a minute, I found some place that sounded good to me. I don't know just where it was at now. Here it is. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Oh, my. That is the kind of picture here of the church today. Being that is the Laodicean church that we're in, let's just look at the condition. Now, you know that some people are still not convinced that we're in Laodicea. They think we're in the Philadelphian age is why you have so much of this constant haranguing how you're supposed to love. Now, you know that we are supposed to love. But you understand that there is a love that we know of today that the people perhaps years ago practiced without understanding it. But we're in the age of the knowledge of all the mysteries and all of these things that are unfolded to us. And so, through the prophet, we know we're in the worst age that there ever was. There's really nothing good said about it at all, except that there is a door open to us. Now, he said, I don't want to take a text or anything, just talk casually, whatever the Lord would lead us to, but wanting something that would help us. Let's think of the Laodicean church age and its condition today. Now, he's going to describe it, so you keep that in mind as we go along. As far as I know, I don't see anything to hinder at this time the coming of the Lord outside the readiness of his church. I think that's one of the prophecies. In plain English, he's telling you, if this is that age, you can expect the wind-up. Now, he did bring us the seventh seal, which is the beginning of the end. Now, as I said a few Sundays ago, look where you're at. See nothing but just a crooked mass of everything, but a righteous king can make his own laws. You can kill a man, You're no good in politics, that's all right. You can get out of it. The democracy is a good idea, but it won't work. Like communism, all things in common. Sounds good, but it won't work. No. God's way of having a king like David was right. Now, of course, that's the millennium we're coming into. You got mind centered over like one leader and a bunch of geese or so forth. You can't get two or three of them. Then you mess them all together. You come up with any kind of an idea, so we find the conditions today ready for the coming of the Lord. In other words, they're ready for the Lord to take over as a leader. Now, you notice he says you don't get two or three to lead. Because after all, if two or three people led, there'd have to be somebody. They'd have to sit down and then come to a principle where the one person would have the authority and the rest would blend in to help enforce the authority. Well, why bother? Why'd you not get one person? How'd you like two honkers in the geese party? And here they're going to take off from the pond now, and they're going to fly south, and you got two or three, you know, flapping the wings and honk, honk, honking. And well, listen, if you've got one leader, then number two follows and number three follows, you've only got one. It's just what they said, I forget who it was in South Africa. He said if Moses had been a committee, the children of Israel would still be in Egypt. And what you're looking at here is what Plato said, benevolent dictatorship is the finest form of government. Now, of course, what you have is the poor old dictator, the poor old king, he's got a problem because, you see, he cannot deal with issues which would cause the people to be subject to what is right. They're subject to greed and everything else. Well, this kingdom we're coming into, bless God, is not made up of a bunch of people that are subject to the carnal whims and realities or things as we have today. But they're going to be people who either died and came back with the glorious change, or they're going to be glorious chains and not die. And then you see we're going to be in a new kingdom with one person ruling. See, that's the thing where he's trying to tell you here, that there's one person got to have an answer. Now, that's a key to what he's talking about here to the people. He is a prophet, has a key. And he's going to tell you, and you're going to listen. Now, you watch after a while how this woman in the church listens. Oh, she's got ears the size of a pinpoint, and a mouth like a washtub. But it doesn't do her any good. She fits the medicine back. Well, praise the Lord. He said, so we find the conditions today ready for the coming of the Lord. In other words, we're washed up. We need a strong man. The world is crying for a strong man. We're going to have our strong man, the right hand of God. All right. But while Brother Neville and I and these other brothers are trying to shepherd a flock, I've got something on my mind now. That comes that we might talk about. That is, I got a letter the other day from a fine lady. Now, he says he's going to start his little move here. I never got it. It came through another person. She was certainly tearing me to pieces, or trying to. She was saying, can't you Christian businessmen do something to stop Brother Branham? Because that he's got this book out now called Laodicean Church Age, how well I know, bringing out more. And she said he's just simply tearing Pentecostal doctrine to pieces. Now, he's talking about the initial evidence, isn't speaking in tongues. And then he's against women preachers. And this was a woman preacher. Her boys, some of the best friends that I have in the world, they're among the best friends that I have. This man and wife, I was eating breakfast with them. No, not the preacher and his wife, no, somebody else. They said, Brother Branham, look at this. What'd you think of it? And pulled out this letter. And so he read the letter, of course. And I said, well, the sister just doesn't understand. The boys that told me their mother was a woman preacher and that she didn't go for the message. Now, she says, and she's talking about what's in the book, in here it says women should not have authority over men. And how about Phoebe in the Bible, Paul's helper? A very good question. That's the same old jazz you know about the deaconess. Certainly, she was a seller of goods. Do you think Paul would say, let the women keep silent and the church is not permitting them to speak? And turn around and say, now, Phoebe, my helper in the gospel, she's going to preach a few nights? Why, he contradicts his own word. And she then said, then to top it all off, I believe, he said it was Esther, it's really Deborah. One of the judges in the Bible. A woman was a judge in the Bible. If that's not authority over men, the businessman that was healed right here in the church not long ago, it was his wife, turned and said, Brother Branham, that always puzzled me. I said, sister, why should that puzzle you? She said, well, here is a woman judge. I said, that's politics, not the church. You know, I never heard that before, the Brother Brandon mentioned it. See, that doesn't have anything to do with the church. See, now you see the answer there. And understand that though she was in politics, in there, it doesn't mean that she should be in politics. Now, better be careful with your thinking. See? Because all he's saying is, that was politics. See? She got away with it. Or did she? It wasn't the ministry. Now, Paul said, let the women be under obedience as also saith the law. The law can't put a woman up to be a priest. You never saw a woman high priest. You never saw a woman ordinary priest anywhere in the Bible. You never saw a woman preacher in the Bible. Certainly some of them were prophetesses and so forth. And you can still have them too in the sense of the gifts within the church. In other words, they could prophesy in the proper place. But you don't see the word prophetess in the New Testament. There's nothing in there. Some were prophetess and so forth, Miriam and different ones. And Deborah was a judge over Israel. Sometimes they were queens over them and so forth like that, kings and queens. At the decease of the king, the queen had to take his place till they elected another king and so forth. In Tucson, Arizona, we got a woman judge there in the city. That's the reason the city is so polluted. Now, what about the woman mayor in San Francisco? Thank God for AIDS. Look, I'll tell you, frankly, you can say what you want. Call me diabolical, call me hard. I don't give a rip. The Bible said, and this is a fulfillment, the last day there'd be diseases that could not be healed. Now, let's get this down flat. If you and I pay a price of malnutrition, because there's nothing left in the ground, don't tell me they can practice their insidious filth in the sight of a just God and get away with it when my body needs here and I'm trying to serve him, needs nourishment. Amen. You understand what I said? Well, if you want a horse around and get messed up, be my guest. But I'm going to tell you, respectable citizens don't buy that junk. I'm hard, you bet I am. Undertakers don't want to handle the corpses. Hospitals are trying to get rid of the patients. Florida got mad and sent a patient out of San Francisco. Did they get mad? And they said Florida knows enough about AIDS as well as New York. They got their big centers too. So the world's fussing too. The world's found out it doesn't pay to be flagrant in the face of Almighty God. Now where's your homosexuals? Don't you know that is the sign of the times concerning immorality? Filth. Don't tell me you haven't had that junk around us. In certain countries, homosexual filth goes on like it's gone over here in the Pentecostals. Yeah. Doesn't mean because a man's married he keeps away from other men. I think some men ought to get married. Let us know just where they're standing. You think I'm tough? I'm tough. Yeah, I don't mind. You can't tell who I'm thinking about, so don't bother trying to sue me. I get a little fed up. Not just a little. Filth. The rotten filth. Tucson, Arizona, woman judge. San Francisco, this is my note. Woman mayor. That's the reason the cities, I put the plural, are so polluted. A woman hasn't got any business in politics. She's got no business over any authority in the church. Her place is a man's queen at home. Outside of that, she has nothing. We know that to be the truth. You'll never find, in other words, you won't find that in the Bible, that it's anything else but that. I know that sounds old-fashioned, but I'm responsible. See? I know that after my going away from this earth, that tapes and those books will be living on. And many of you young children will find in the days to come that this is exactly the truth. Because I speak it in the name of the Lord. Now you watch what he's saying here. As a vindicated prophet of Deuteronomy chapter 18, thus saith the Lord, he is laying this down for the people. And they're going to face it. Because he's vindicated to say it. Now anybody can yap. Anybody can read the Bible. Anybody, any fool can do it. Any hypocrite, any heathen. But a vindicated prophet, thus saith the Lord, is the only authority there is. And when you have that authority, everything else bows to it. Now, he's telling you about the condition. Now, we wonder how a woman that's a good woman, and she has brought, talking about this woman now, the two sons of preachers, and she has brought on this earth by her loyal husband, a good man, some of the finest boys ever met. And just quickly, just as soon as they heard the message, they were sold on 100%. Now, that could only come by foreordination. Do you know what he did? He wiped the woman right out. Put her down as a carrier. I tell you what. I could be wrong, but you know I got a theory concerning the millennium. I got a theory in the millennium. I'm going to see who my real father is and my real mother. And I'll see who my real children are. The children which you have in the flesh are not there. There's going to be somebody. Because I see this as a descended line from Adam. And they're very elect out of that line. You see what you want. I'm not saying the prophet taught it, but I know enough about what he taught for me to have a very good understanding and to say this could very, very, very well be true. Because it says we're going to be there with our children. So you do what you want with it. I'm not stating it as a doctrine, as though I know, but he puts it in right here. That could only come by foreordination, God knowing who the carriers would be. It's, and then he says it's the only way it could come. In other words, like mother, like daughter, like father, like son. Now, in this case, the parents are out, but the children in. Even as in the case of Esau, the parents are in, but the child Esau was out. Now, the scripture here, I was thinking of that. And knowest not. Now, he said, and knowest not. That thou art naked, miserable, wretched, and blind, don't know it. Be all of those things yet not know it. Before I get to that spot, I might brief what I said a few days ago here in a message I believe was on God of this world. Blind in the eyes of the people that they absolutely worship the devil in religious services. Well, let's ask a question. How do you do it? Look, how do you know God? You said spoken tongues, fat. Speak in tongues. I can put you under a good hypnosis and get you regressed until you speak languages don't even exist anymore. But they're genuine languages. So what does that do for you? Nothing. See? You say, well, I believe this and I believe that. It comes down to just one thing. And that is, you have never seen God. I have never seen God. We cannot prove God any way, shape, or form. God himself could not prove God. You say, I don't believe that. Then you're an unbeliever. Because what could he do to the Pharisees and he was God in human flesh? Amen. He couldn't persuade anybody. He couldn't prove anything. William Branham couldn't prove anything. You and I can't prove anything. It's by faith. It's an intrinsic, almost esoterical, like an ethereal, mystical thing. This thing of the Spirit. And here's this person here now. And he can't prove God. There's no way he knows God, really. Except by a revelation. And he's got to believe it. He believes it. That's all he's got. Now, this man can't prove. And along comes a person and says, well, I believe this to be the truth of God. Then I'll worship that way. And it turns out it's the devil. Sure. Another man follows. It's a revelation. And it turns out to be God. Now, that may leave you puzzled. But let's get this plant. The foundation of God standeth sure. And this is the Lord knoweth them, but his nobody else does. If you want to boil it right down. Even Brother Branham stood there and he said, if we're not bride, there's a bride up there somewhere. So you see, nobody's trying to put something on himself, but he's trying to get to the point of why he could say that people in religious services absolutely worship the devil. Because they're going according to the plan that the devil formulated. He said, I'm going to exalt myself above the Most High. He said, I'm going to have all the authority. And in getting authority, you become an object of exaltation. Yeah. All right. Now he got kicked out of heaven. So what's he do? He's what he's always done. He went right to the garden. And there he perverted the word to that woman. And when she was one word out, she was in Satan's kingdom. Just like the prophet said. You say one word out in the Satan's kingdom? Yes, if you don't understand that, listen. I'll supply the booze. You go home and get drunk. Because you might as well. You see, Brother Vail don't like the rough preaching. Nobody does except me. So goodbye. I'll take my own beer. You know how I kid you. Look, it's the truth. If you can't see that one word put her in Satan's kingdom, where we are now, Who are you trying to kid is running things? Who's ripping down your body? Who's making everything go against you? Who's making the briars tear your hands and the rocks stub your toes? The animals rise up against you. The bugs come in and destroy your crops. Or at least the mosquitoes come in and annoy you at no end as they buzz around your head at night while you try to sleep. When back in the garden, he could say, tree, move over there. And the tree just obligingly walked up. Or did it. I don't care if an angel did it. I don't care if thought transferring did it. I don't care how God did it. But he said, now, tree, I want you over there. And he pruned the trees. That lovely existence. It was Satan's kingdom. One word off did it. See? Absolutely worship the devil in religious services. And that's not people, my brother, sister, that are drinking blood out of a skull, practicing religion in a darkened room, calling all spooks and gremlins, hearing funny noises, seeing funny sights. But there are people in churches, especially Roman Catholic churches, and quickly in line the Protestants, because they're no different. See, they've changed the word. Then in that same message, I brought the subject. Now listen, in the same message, in the God of this world, now notice the woman linked with the God of this world, Satan. Now don't think the man isn't linked too, come on. Because the man's by the woman. Can the clean come out of the unclean? Hogwash. Then in that same message, I brought the subject of the woman wearing immoral clothes indecently. She is to be judged at the judgment bar as a prostitute. And no whore will be in the kingdom of God any more than the dog, which is a male whore. A male prostitute isn't going to make it either. He'll be in the lake of fire. He said, that sounds awful strange. It did at one time, but not anymore. I can't think of it otherwise. Let me draw a little picture. It's a word picture. Here's a young attorney, young fellow, nice fellow. That as far as politics goes, he's nice. Imagine he may be decent in politics. He goes with the girl who's very popular. Fall in love and marry, attend all the parties and great things and drink together. Finally, she has a nice home. He lives in a nice neighborhood. He is well thought amongst the people. Both of them drink. She wears shorts, cuts her hair, wears makeup, everything sexy, beautiful woman displaying herself. Well, she never goes to church at all, neither one of them. So moving in next door comes a woman of the Baptist church in Methodist, her and her husband. Now this woman, let's make a Methodist, because the Methodist goes a little more in holiness than Baptist, except New Testament Baptists, they believe in holiness. But usually Baptists don't go so far in holiness at all. They don't believe in no such thing. So then, let's make it Methodist, because they believe in holiness. Of course, it's her own brand. Then a Methodist woman next door to this woman on the same street lives, moves next door to one on the street. Her husband is, let's say, a public accountant at some office. Well, this Methodist woman looks over at the other one, and when this lawyer goes out of town, his name's John. Let's say his name's John. Now, don't presume on that. I'm just using a fictitious name. His name's John. Well, she used to go with a fellow named Rel. That's a woman that's married to John. That's fictitious, too. Just to make a story get going. Well, first of all, you know, at a drunken party, Ralph hugs her again. She gets all fired up because she's in love again with Ralph, she thinks. After a while, Ralph begins to meet her. She can put it over John, pull it over his eyes, and she thinks she's a pretty smart duck because she can run with Ralph married to John. See, the woman doesn't even have the bearing of decency, and she thinks nothing about that. But this Methodist woman has been raised in another bracket. She does at least go to church, and she thinks that that woman is horrible. Why, she said to her husband, when he comes in, I see that man go in there and meet her. And when John's out in some case somewhere, Philadelphia somewhere, he takes her out in his roaster. They lie on the beach. I see them come home, don't even pull the curtains down, kissing, making love to her. That's awful. She says to her husband, why, she is nothing but a public prostitute. It's true. She is worse than a public prostitute because she is a married woman. You know, you have more respect for a street prostitute than a woman that pulls this deal. Now, that's the way the cookie crumbles. And this woman, this Methodist woman, thinks that is horrible. She never goes to church. That'd be the gal that's, you know, that she thinks is a prostitute. And she is indeed. Now, this Methodist woman would not do a thing like that, no indeed. She's a decent woman. Another thing, she would not touch a bit of whiskey, being the Methodist church. 90% of their program is prohibition. That means against whiskey. So they got a prohibition. That's what they prohibit is the whiskey. Lying, cheating, stealing, and anything gouging is all right. So they got a prohibition program. A lot of them, they don't like liquor in the first place. It never was hard for me to turn down booze because I never liked it. No, not hard to turn down smoking, never liked it. Never, nothing hard to turn down beer, didn't like it. See, it wasn't hard to just stop cutting my head off because I didn't like it. It's a little difficult in things I do like. See, that's prohibition. So they had this whiskey prohibited. They got a prohibition program, and those people that met the church don't live any higher than the church teaches. That's not booze, is there, you know. But this same woman, this Methodist woman, goes out in the evening with her husband, wearing shorts on Sunday after Sunday school. She cuts her hair, wears lipstick, even smokes a little. Now, in God's word, they're both prostitutes. But this one here is naked, miserable, wretched, blind. That's a Methodist, and doesn't know it. One is as guilty as the other. For a man that looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in heart. If this woman, now she would say, now just a minute, Brother Branham, I'll give you to understand I'm no prostitute. My sister, maybe if you'd be taken before a Bible, put your hands on in the presence of God, and swear an oath that you have been just as true to your husband as you could be. Your body belongs to your husband, but your soul belongs to God. Now you got, in other words, you have two definitive authorities in the woman's life. One is the husband, whose authority is limited to a certain area, and the other is God, whose authority is also limited to a certain area. Now, we'll just read the rest here. Your soul belongs to God. There is an evil spirit that is anointing you. If you're not, then I can prove that you're totally insane. Now, you see, the man with the authority over the woman cannot usurp the authority of God, who categorically tells the man that he cannot forbid his wife to pray, to read the Bible, or to fellowship in church and worship God thereby. Anytime he does that, his authority is gone, the marriage is dissolved. You say dissolved? Certainly. She doesn't have a marriage because she better obey God.
Amen.
Because there's a marriage to God that supersedes every marriage on this earth. See, now he says, listen, there's an evil spirit anointing you. See, if it's not an evil spirit, then you've got to be totally insane. Now, here's how he puts it. What would have happened to your grandmother had she walked down the street with those shorts on? Now, I'm 69 years old. My mother would be, about 102 years old or so. 33 when I was born. And she wore street sweepers. You couldn't even see her ankle. And my mother was not the epitome of virtue. She could cuss faster than a horse could trot. So don't think for 1 minute now that I'm extolling any virtues that aren't there, because I'm not extolling this as a virtue. I'm only bringing the fact out that Ma didn't let her ankles peep up. See? Now, if my mother, and I'm only 69, and that's not my grandmother, and this was preached 18 years ago, just about on the dot, within a month or two, within 2 months. Now, if she'd have gone down the streets with shorts on, even had she been built like she was when she was young, and she was an excellent figure when she was young, they'd have grabbed the old girl up and shoved her in the pokey. Yep, they would have done it. And that's not my grandma, that's my mother. Now, here's to get the picture. See, you get the picture. The same people talk about God who doesn't change. Well, if he couldn't look on that way back there, he couldn't look on it now. I said, what would happen to your grandmother if she'd have walked down the street with those shorts on? They'd have put this insane institution. She came out without her dress on. Now, I know an absent-minded man, he just might forget to put his trousers on, walk downstairs some morning without his trousers on. And I think maybe some woman might be so plagued sometimes she might forget to put her skirt on. But that's just because, maybe once in 30 years that might happen, or 50 years, it never happened in anybody's years, but it could happen. But this is habitual. This is calculated. There's something wrong with her mind. Now listen, if it was so then, it's so now. And this guy says, I speak it in the name of the Lord. William Branham. Now, let me tell you something. If William Branham is right, this generation is going to answer for their slacks and their shorts. I don't care what anybody says. I don't give a rip. I don't have a thing to do with it. But when this prophet raised his head, and he said, I'm going to speak in the name of the Lord concerning this knoweth it not, he had better be right. Amen. Or this generation is going to come back on him. Because he's speaking the name of the Lord. This is the name of the Lord. See? So, it throws the whole world into insanity. Could it do just that? Could this be the start of insanity? Listen. Now, I'm not 100, but you guys are. How many mighty Nimrods? Ramrods? Betrods? Well, all right, Nimrods. You know what I'm going to tell you because it's the truth. When a hunter gets lost, he becomes bushwhacked. And it comes to the place where he can cross a main highway several times not knowing he's done it. He will throw his guns away. He will begin ripping his clothes off. He goes entirely insane out of his mind. How many people go insane and don't start ripping their clothes off? Tremendous agitation and grief causes people to rend their garments. Rend your hearts and not your garments is a true story because agitation through extensive grief will bring people to rip their clothes. Agitation through extreme difficulties when people cannot meet situations, they want to rip something. They rip their clothes. They'll tear their hair and tear up their bodies. Taking their clothes off is evidently a sign of insanity. And it started when women began raising the skirts above the ankles and above the calves. And then above the knees, and above the knees, there is no place else to go except to the primary sex organs in male and female. Let's write it down the way it is, because I'm not a nice preacher. Amen. But neither am I dishonest. It throws the whole world into insanity. The whole thing is insane. Why? Because years ago, the rending of the clothes, which would still today be a rending and would be looked upon as insanity. But the taking off of the clothes is highly commended instead of condemned. Amen. So there's insanity in the whole world. Oh, now listen, the whole thing is insane. Now listen, it is so, it's so gradually crept in until the people didn't know it. Now, you tell somebody, hey, that woman's insane, taking all those clothes off. They'll say, just a minute. I want you to know she's a Ph.D. Yes, piled higher and deeper in her rotten filth and sin. In her corrupt morals. That's what she is. She's as scurvy as anything, and so is the man in the same boat, because the man encourages her. When the mayor Hall of Dayton, now dead, went to England, and he found the mini skirts were minier than over here. He came back with a big grin. Well, why don't you grin right? Just go home and take your wife's clothes off and intercourse with her. That's the thing to do. That's where God put it.
Right. Amen.
Son of God can go down the street. He'll turn his head. Now listen, you can't run away from that stuff. I don't care where you go. If you think you can run away, you might as well blow your brains out now. Now I'm not going to give you my good liquor to get drunk on. I'm not going to spend money on you. Take a gun and blow your brains up.
Amen.
Because the world's in it. You can't get away from it, but you can turn from it. You don't have to agree with it. But you can understand its insanity. Now, there's the point most of us don't understand its insanity. Oh, we're looking for someone to jump off of buildings. They will. We're looking for them to come to the place where they see these big birds fly across heaven. It's in the same sermon. And I'll tell you what it's all about, because it's in the Greek. Brother Branham explains it, but it's in the Greek. It's a medical term. But they refuse to believe that this is insanity.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. It's like a little girl, she was mentally deficient. Now this is from Canada. Because, you see, you don't have any Prince of Wales here. You're kind of beat up by being in the 13 colonies that decided you wouldn't stay jolly old England. You lost your prince. So this little girl in this mental institution, because she was a mental case really from birth, but she knew enough, have enough in the ball to know that the Prince of Wales was a great figure. And so she dreamed she was in love with him. He was coming to see her. And so the other girl decided that Prince of Wales was coming for her. Well, you had two insane people fighting over an imaginary thing. You got the same thing today. Two naked people agreeing. It's all right. Two crazy people agreeing the Prince of Wales is coming for a visit. There's no difference than two crazy people agreeing it's okay to take your clothes off. But you see, one is recognized, the other is not recognized, because it's gradual. So I just don't believe that the world could be, had a starting point toward insanity there. That's where it had its starting point, because the prophet said so. I'm not preaching this sermon on my own, I'm preaching his sermon. I didn't put these notes here, I'm reading them. See? Alright, that's the question. See? Has it crept in gradually? The people don't know. The answer is yes. Sure. Now, is she a prostitute? That's the question. Comes up next. Not by her husband, bowed to her body. That's right. He's the only one having intercourse with her. But before God, she's got an evil prostitute spirit on her that makes her dress. He should say undress like that. And she brought, I don't have to correct the prophet, but you know it's a state of undress. She's in the Laodicean church age and doesn't know that she's doing that. In other words, it so gradually becomes accepted. And that's the hideous thing about everything, it so gradually becomes accepted. Now here's the Methodist church shouting prohibition, shouting this, shouting that. The women going naked. Here's the Pentecostal shouting this, shouting that. It's wonderful. Women cut their hair off. Wear slacks. Where are you going to place it? It's insanity. And it came so gradual. You know, it's like senility. Here, dear old grandma. You know, finally she makes a few little jokes. And they laugh because, you know, grandma's going a little bit down, you know, a little bit potty. And then pretty soon a little bit worse. And one day grandma ends up with a large doll that weighs maybe 5 or 6 pounds, and to her it's a baby. Her senility came gradually. She wasn't senile when she was 16. Neither was the Laodicean church the mess it's in. It's a gradual thing. And there's things going on now gradually that'll wipe this message up before it's over. But people let it go. It's a type of insanity. Now, the innocent woman doesn't know that God will judge her as a prostitute. Innocent of what? Innocent of the act with anybody outside of her husband. That is the physical act. Innocent woman doesn't know God will judge her for a prostitute. There you are. See? The question comes, does dress do it? Sure it does. See? It confirms that the dress or lack of dress augments the very problem and furthers the whole thing to lysis. Now listen, you get it to her. That's what's going on, this woman. You can't tell her. There's no way of getting to her. The Bible said they're naked and they don't know it. Now, is it this bad? Yes, it's that bad. That's the condition. Now, that's the condition the Pentecostals hated Brother Branham to talk about. They said, what do you mean I'm a prostitute? What do you mean? Well, I said, what do I mean? This is a book. That's an organ. That's a little glass that a candle's in. That's a picture. You're a prostitute. I don't know. I was in meetings, I tell you, it used to just burn me up. Of course, I would get sick at the stomach over it. Not that I'm a very virtuous person, but you couldn't stay in those meetings on the anointing of God and listen to them titter and laugh as though, ha, 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 you know, poor old pokey Joe Branham, you know, ha, 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 Cowboy Bill, ha, 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 you know. I don't know. Get this thing unwrapped here. Something's wrong somewhere. It wasn't with the prophet.
Amen.
Now, if you would call her a prostitute personally, she'd have you arrested. She would. I never talk personally about anybody. So he's not talking about anybody at all. See, he's just talking about the sin question. I talk about sin. I don't say this certain church, Mr. Sons or Reverend Sons, Sons, Sons. I don't say that doctrine thing, the whole thing together. I don't call the individual. It's not individuals. It's a system that they're in. So I don't call individuals. It's a world system. I said it's a world system. Brother George Wright sitting here 75, 78 years old, I guess. What would you think would you happen if you had gone to see Sister Wright someday and she would have been standing in a pair of shorts? Well, he just said the poor girl forgot to put her skirt on. And he turned his back and walked away. Her mother, someone put her right. You'd have the one locked up. Well, maybe Brother Man got stronger, I guess, than I did at that point. You never would have married her. Well, if that's the way she was doing it, that's right. He'd have had her examined and locked up or walked off left, or he wouldn't have married her. That's the thing that wouldn't have married her. Well, any young man in that day would have done it. The same thing would have taken place. Well, if it was sin and wrong, then it's the same thing. But the people have grown into insanity. Now, that's in all churches. Not one church, every church. Listen, here again, the same Deuteronomy prophet. Let me prophesy something to you just before it comes to pass. Now, he told you what's doing it. The whole world is groping in insanity. And it will get worse and worse. I'm telling you, it'll be a bunch of maniacs. And it's almost that way now. And that's exactly why homosexuality is where it is.
Yes, amen.
And you get magazine articles that tell you that herpes isn't half as bad as it sounds. Reader's Digest, it yaps about the communists, yaps about Guatemala, has put it, 2 months ago they had the article out, just be careful, you can get along fine with herpes. You can have your neighbor's wife, the woman down the street, some young girl, it's okay. You can be illegitimate, says the Reader's Digest, just be careful and watch it at a certain scab season or pussy season. Trouble is, those filthy scums put it on some young person that doesn't know any better.
Amen.
And look at incest today. It's got to the place where they're ready to pull the wraps off now and say it's okay. You listen. What would make anybody's mind but insanity, a mind filled with insanity, go to a place where you'd get herpes and AIDS and everything else? Merciful God, you understand what I'm saying? If a man needs gratification, there's 100 different ways to get it. Now, you know what I'm talking about. There's not 100, there's enough anyway. But the magazines are all for it. Everything is fine. Now, listen, if that's not insanity, now look. All right, here's a plate of hamburger. Clean, fresh hamburger we just got fixed up from the mill. Full of corruption. Why, you know the person would be crazy to eat the plate that's full of corruption. And why are people doing it this way? So they're crazy. It's an insanity. Now what we're trying to show you is where the prophet said it came from. And what it's developing into. Now listen, let's go back to syphilis. And to gonorrhea, but especially syphilis. Syphilis handed down to the fourth generation breeds an idiot. That's right. All right, there's your insanity. Where did it start? Back in the nakedness in the garden. Where is it in this age of nakedness? Because the enticement is there. You can say what you want. But you can cure any alcoholic in 20 minutes of being an alcoholic. You simply throw him in a jail. And you'll sit there till he dries out, keep him there 5 years if necessary. When he can't get the liquor, he's no longer an alcoholic.
Amen.
World's gone crazy. They're taking their clothes off and taking their clothes off and nobody's stopping it because they're all too happy because they were naked in the garden, they're naked at the end time. Only the first one was legitimate and this is filth. Let me prophesy to you, the whole world's groping in the sand. It's going to get worse, I'm telling you. It'll be a bunch of maniacs. It's almost that way now. Maniac minds bring this dress. They brought the dress. And no wonder, the mess is today. Until there's so much rape and incest going on, although some comes to light, the majority is still like the iceberg. You merely see a tip of it. Could you imagine a man driving with his lights off on the wrong side of the road, a rickety young kid supposed to be out of high school, kill a bunch of people? Did that stop them? Next day come right one behind him doing the same thing. Can you imagine a young man that thinks anything of himself getting out here and acting the way they do? You imagine a young woman, the bloom of womanhood, beautiful, well-built, shape, profile, face, beautiful. Everything of her being pretty shows that we're at the end time. See, she has gone altogether to worldly feature. Worldly things are not the beauty of holiness. Now, there's a beauty of holiness, see? Sweetness in the soul. I've seen women on the outside of them, wasn't nothing to look at, but speak to them one time, talk to them a few minutes. They're real, genuine, something you can't get away from. See, beauty on the outside is of the devil, it's of the world. Now, number one, look at Cain's children. How they went into it. What into it? They went for, they had the beauty, they had the glamour. When the sons of God, that's Genesis 6 and 2, saw the daughters of men, sons of God saw daughters of men were fair, they had taken unto them of them wives, and God never did forgive them. That's exactly right. Now people say, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. That's exactly right. He wiped them off the earth. See? Had to wipe them right off of there. Because he didn't forgive them. Number two. Look at the Israelite women. With those callous hands. And hair stringing. When those sons of God, that's the children of God, the sons of Abraham, down the line through birth, through Jacob, Isaac and Jacob, they come up to the land of Moab, met those dainty women with well-set hair. Now look at, the other women were workers, helped me for their husbands, these were sex pots. That's what they were. Fancy, a lot of manicure in the face, whatever you call it. I guess it's mascara, what it is. Those sons of God saw those real fair women, a false prophet said were all the same. So they married among them. And God never did forgive them. They perished when every one of them died there. Without hope, without God, and eternally lost. Damned forever because they'd seen the goodness of God. Though they drunk from the fountain that never runs dry. Drank the smitten rock. Seen the brazen serpent perform miracles. Come up from under the baptism of Moses in the sea. They'd seen the hand of God. Ate angels' food and done all those things. But married in. Let them women bring them in. And marry among them. Not commit adultery, just marry among them. God never did forget it. Why? Because there's where the illegitimacy was born. An illegitimate child was never two people that were unmarried. It was a son of God that married a woman that wasn't a child of God. One of those Hebrew boys married a girl, a Canaanite, a Moabite, one of those. And absolutely that child was illegitimate. Now that's what Ezra and Nehemiah tried to do when they tried to straighten up the priesthood. They were married to all this hokum, bokum stuff. And all the kids were illegitimate. The illegitimate wives, illegitimate kids, which would have brought an illegitimate priesthood. Yeah. They had no business marrying them. That's why Brother Branham said if he had Moses didn't have time to fix things up, nobody had time to fix anything up. And if he had tried to do it, he'd bust up about every marriage in every church. See? Why? Because most were sex pot marriages. Why? The woman didn't go to God for an answer, and the man didn't go to God for an answer. Now, maybe they're... Oh, now, what you've got, the same thing Brother Branham laid it out with this business of marriage. It is sacred. It is wonderful, but always there's a fast-talking man that's got a revelation, and there's a slow-talking woman. And so she listens to the fast-talking man, and she ain't got a revelation. You ought to shut up and stay home and sit down and braid her hair by the hour. That's what it's going to take to keep out of this mess of marriage. Until she knows from Almighty God, from a voice of her heart within her, God speaking, that's the man you're to marry. Boy said, well, that man loves me. Oh, fact, you won't have that good a marriage. Marriage is tough no matter how you look at it. Amen. A couple old chickens get together. Yeah. Well, they didn't do it. They looked at the sex pots. Women are pretty. They're prettier than ever. My brother Brown said he called her name Pearl Brown. I never heard of her. I don't know who she was. The old girl back there, as far as I know, was Theta Baron. I don't remember her. I mean, maybe she was Theta the Baron, looked like one. I don't know. I haven't got any idea. He talked about this Pearl Brad. He said any 16-year-old snicker fritz looks better than her. Well, I don't know about that. He did, so I'll take his word for it. I don't know if I knew any myself. That is to even see pictures. Now, those are the first two instances he talks about. Way back there in the book of Genesis, back there in the coming out of Exodus. Okay, the third one he's talking about. Now he said that was the second time. Now we're in the third time. More deceiving now than ever. I know that's hard. I've often wondered in many ways how will it ever be. Why do I have to talk so irrationally? Because it's rational, but he means so hard to people. What makes it so? Yet I notice it wasn't God, there wouldn't be nobody. Not a woman would sit and listen at me. But they come back. Because there's somebody that's got an anchor of truth there that knows that's right. Regardless, they know it's right. Now he said, I'd lose every woman, but he said, but there's some of them that know it's right. He said, looking for an anchor. Now, what is it what he's talking about? He said, the third time is worse than the second time. The second time, they married. Now, we're getting into a marriage of organization, right? Now, at that time, they were damned because they'd seen the goodness of God. They had drunk from the fountain that never runs dry. They had drunk from the spent rock. They'd seen the brass serpent perform miracles. In other words, a great healing ministry. They come out of the baptism of Moses in the sea. They had the hand of God upon them. They'd eaten angel food and all those things. Now, let's take a look at what we're into. Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Now, never forget this as long as you live. Because here we're in this God of this world right now. His soul knoweth it not. Therefore, leaving the doctrine of principle of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, watch before you go on to perfection, watch what happened. Not laying in the foundation of repentance and dead works, of faith toward God, a doctrine of baptism laying on of hands, a resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. This will do if God permit. For it's impossible. For those who are once enlightened and taste the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, they can never be renewed repentance because they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put them in open shame. Now it tells you that this age ends worse than any of them. This is Exodus. This is the time of the rapture. Two women are being made up. One is being made up deceived of the devil, and one is made up the virgin bride of Jesus Christ. And the virgin bride of Jesus Christ is going to get out of here. That's why this is important. Knoweth it not. Now, all right. Now watch what happens. I know it's hard. It's just like a doctor give you medicine. You refuse to take it. Then don't blame the doctor if you die. Now remember, the last plague was spiritual death. It was physical death in Egypt. It's spiritual death now. See? Woman says it's okay. Church says it's okay. It's not okay. Because this is the age of the mind. And if the mind is insane, it can't take the word of God. I don't care. Anybody said, God never went to the insane institution and to the people down there that didn't have an ounce of brains because they were born wrong. You couldn't even be a priest under the law if there's something wrong with you. You had to shave your beard just right. Everything about you had to be right. It wasn't one thing from your sex organs to your fingertips that could be out. Let's get it fast. That's the word of God. I'm not ashamed to preach it. Too many kooks in the church may be right here tonight too. Can't take the word of God. Yes, sir, there's a perfection. That bride doesn't go around looking like some mealy, scrubby thing out there in the world. Yet one of the biggest fights in the church is all the time is women cannot get their heels down, can't keep their dresses down, can't do a dozen things. I'm not trying to fuss at anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Men ain't no better. Because they're looking for one. They're looking for sex, the same as the rest of them were. What do you think this is all about? Read the Songs of Solomon. Oh, my, Baal's a dirty old preacher. Well, I'm whoring around with women or anything else. I'm laying it here on the table.
Praise God.
I'm trying to back my life against anybody's life, so I've got some great, fine, shiny light. But you find me chasing around doing one thing. Never have believed in this junk. Now, women got their ants. And listen, women represent the church. We're going to hit that right in a second here. That's what you're looking at. Now he said, well, I know it's hard. Doctor give you medicine. You refuse to take it. Then don't blame the doctor if you die. And Dr. Branham was here with spiritual medicine. And they die spiritually.
That's right.
You say, woman cut her hair. Yes, she's dead.
Amen.
You say, well, just that's all there's grace. The grace that God gives. She got enough grace to keep her hair long. Her skirt's right and her shoes right and everything else right. Doesn't worry about style. Not those flimsy dresses that flow around you and drape your figure. You move until everything about you's flowing around. Listen, Brother Branham said those mother-to-be dresses, he called them, were condemned because they look like maternity dresses. Sack dress, what you call them. If you got them in your homes, burn them! And you men that see your wives got them, burn them!
Haven't got enough brains, rip them off.
That's pretty tough preaching.
You think I'd be afraid to do it to my wife? Don't you be 1 minute I'd be afraid to do it. If she ain't scared of me, she better be learning to be scared. I'm the head of the house. And I'm responsible. If she wants to run down that road, that's her business. Now, you say, well, that's... Listen, I'm going to tell you, it was the little things that condemn every single one. The little things. The little fox that spoiled the vine. It's the little fly in the ointment. The little gnat. It's not the dead horse in the slough. And it's not the crocodile in your soup. It's a fly that's spinning around in here. Sure. Now, if your wife ain't saved, that's a different story. You say, if you're women that are pregnant wear maternity dresses, you better wear them. It's the ones that ain't pregnant. So don't give. So if you thought I was saying something out of turn there, let's get the record straight. Now, if you die, don't blame the doctor. Now, if anybody dies today, don't blame Brother Branham. So it is. Anybody come near this message? Sure, tough luck. Sure, person doesn't take it, doesn't go with it. I'm not pointing fingers at you sitting here. Don't worry, I've got fingers pointed at myself too. I know where I'm wrong. Now, this is like medicine. What is the message? What about those people that always claim my being to me being a woman hater? You see, you just watch the way women act, and I'll show you where the church is. Not against women. Women find out pretty well, like Brother Branham, their strongest supporter. Always supported women. But you can't support either man or woman when it's wrong. You can't support yourself when you're wrong. See? Now I'll show you where the church is. Now remember, woman always places the church. Israel tells the time. Now people say men make the women sex symbols. Now, I'm going to tell you something. They wouldn't have to be if they just want to draw the line in. That's all. A woman doesn't have to learn karate. Just put a guy's thigh. If he gets too smart. Boy, I tell you, a withering, scathing no can stop any six-footer but a rapist right in his tracks. And remember, rape is not it. It's seduction. And seduction is where two people are well agreed upon an act because they both flatter each other. The people, the women of the world, and the church is the same stage. Watch the natural type, the spiritual, run through each time. In other words, they're both naked, period. Now let's prove they're naked. Let's not just yammer, yammer, yammer. Let's prove it. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit and joint and marrow, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There isn't one that's not naked before God, and his judgment has been pronounced. The bride is dressed, but the whore is naked.
Amen.
Now there's your answer. The prophet stood there and he read every heart. Now you say, what makes a woman do it? Well, because her mind's all flunkied up, all messed up. See? Now we'll get to that. We'll show you some of the things what's happening. We just got to take my time. See, now I can't preach too much longer. Been about an hour now. Okay. Now someday at the judgment bar. I know it's not popular to say it. But if a man is not ordained to say it, you better not say it because you're impersonating. Preachers get up in a pulpit, a oneness pulpit. Deny the very prophet of God. Stand naked before the people, then get up there as hypocrites and tell the women to keep their hair long and tell the prophet he's false. Ha! They're naked too. Don't know it. And he saw Miss Oneness. Remember his vision about Miss Threeness and Miss Oneness? Miss Assemblies of God, boy, she was a picture cut out of a magazine. You know, sort of a shaped down Marilyn Monroe. Maybe not quite as glorious in all her physical sexual structures. But boy, was she really gorgeous. And Mr. Man of the World came by, the slicker. And she'd been talking to Brother Branham. Mr. World came by. American and Worldwide Assemblies of God didn't have one more look for the prophet. She just grabbed the old boy's arm and ran off to adultery. Next vision was Miss Oneness, where their sleeves were a bit longer and the hair the way it should be. And the dresses pretty well where they should be, which they were lowering than the knees and all, down to the calf and so on. And she looked pretty good.
But Mr. World came by, and she talked to Brother Branham. Mr. World chucked her under the chin, and she sort of looked, and she looked back, and she looked, and then she grabbed him by the arm and walked off, and took one look as she went down the hill. Now she's gone. Adultery. Who put her there? Her rotten preachers. So what would be the use of man? A man preaching something like this if how could he? Another thing Brother Branham was saying here, if you don't have a judgment ministry, stay away from it. Now notice, I actually looked at times, held a woman's mouth open, poured the medicine in her mouth, and then hold my hands over her mouth, she spit it every time. What if a doctor did that to a patient then? The patient died because he refused to swallow the medicine. At the judgment bar, when all these things like cutting hair, wearing shorts, in other words, the judgment bar, Dr. Branham stands there and says, I gave the medicine, what'd you do with it? Everyone in that rugged picture that's painted by the prophet either will be accused according to the fact or an accessory after the fact in the judgment bar of God. Now he said, I'm only building. The hour is so close, it's close at hand when you're going to see something happen. When something is going to take place, all this background here has only been laying a foundation for a short, quick message to shake the whole nation. You say, what's that got to do? I'm the least idea, except I believe that's a rapture. I believe that's a rapture message. The only message Brother Branham preached after, as I understand it, to be a genuine message that would have an effect upon us, would be the revelation of the rapture, which the bride catching would start her right off.
Amen.
Yeah. Under the seventh seal. I don't know. You put it anywhere you want. I can't help you. Why I've been picking on women. It's just been laying up here for something could hit around the head with it. In other words, he's just waiting for the time to strike out. He had to tell him. As far as I know, that's what he's saying. Maybe the guy that took this off the tape didn't get it. I don't know. Even trying to tell them what's right. I hold my hand down like this to where their mouth is. They spit it up. Then who can blame the doctor? How are you going to say at the day of judgment when the very voices that cried out against it will play the record right back in the face of the people? How are they going to get away from it? Revelation 1:15. His feet were like under brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. A lot of preachers raise their voices. But why raise their voice? The preacher himself doesn't live the life. If he's got some Laodicean, Nicolaitan concept going on, gouging and bugging the people.
Amen.
See? Now look, I could say a lot of things here, but it's all right. Spit it up between the fingers. Pour some more down and kind of shake your head, walk back, go back, won't do it. Yet you come back and pour it again. Then who's to blame? Not the doctor, not the medicine, but the attitude of the people. Now, where's the attitude come from, see? They can't be born again. Now, he goes into why they do this a little later on. I'm not going to get it tonight, because I thought I'd get 26 pages and call it a day, but you know how that is. It's just like my house. 20 more years and $50,000, it just might be nearly finished. And you all know that own homes know exactly what I'm talking about there. Ain't no way of ever getting anything done when you got a little bit of land. I don't care if it's 5 acres or 5,000 acres. Forget it. Go to bed and sleep. Take the crop off tomorrow. It'll be horrible one of these days when this sinful adulterous generation stands before Almighty God. Now notice this sinful adulterous generation. He's talking about this generation that shall not pass away. He's talking about now the women that he preached to and treated them like a patient, like a doctor patient, helping them, trying to have to force the medicine down the throat and hope something goes down, they'll get some help. It's like a person with the teeth clenched. Can't unclench the teeth. Trying to do something. Pry the jaws apart. Get a little liquid in there. Get something in there to help the patient. Man, they just bite his fingers off or spit it right back in his face. Now, this generation does it. Will this generation ever get clothed? This generation will not get clothed. A minute a number. As I see my years creeping up, my shoulders stooping. I wish mine were that stooped. 30 years on this platform. 30 years here in the field. 33 in the field. That's like the life of Christ. 33. 3.5 years. That's 33 years of service. Only one regret I have. I don't have 133 for it. For this will be the last opportunity. That is what he's doing now, preaching. In this period of immortality, I'll have to, while mortals, to preach the gospel. God help me to stand as true as I can to that word, just as he said. Why does he say that? Because while you're human, you're fallible. Be great to have a prophet come on the scene with thus saith the Lord, then live like a garbage can. Well, he wasn't a garbage can. That's one thing about Brother Branham I admire. The man backs it up with a leg. What made that Methodist woman? How could you ever get to her? Now, what made her that way? See, how could you get her? No way. Because she's in the Laodicean church. And that means they don't know. They don't know. The question is there anything to know with? Not really when it comes to discernment. And now let's take the Pentecostal woman. She wouldn't wear shorts, makeup, or cut her hair, but she looks down on the Methodist. Say, look at that woman do so-and-so. Say, the woman doesn't wear shorts, but she said, and herself bobbed her hair. The higher your eyes in God, the more sinful the whole thing looks. In other words, when you're down here where that Baptist woman was, where she didn't have anything, she could commit adultery. When you're a little higher where your morals are better with this Methodist woman, she could take her clothes off and stay true to her husband. Now you get to the Pentecostals. Now they won't do a lot of things like smoke, drink, and shag around, you know, to beer parties and all that stuff and the disco. Take that back. There's a lot going to discos now calling themselves Pentecostals. Forget it. They got the jungle jive and the dung jungle beat, and they say that a rock is of God. Yeah, a rock is of God. They're going to be hailstones, 100-pound size, going to get them too. Don't give me that nonsense and that balderdash that they peddle around. No, you see, the higher you go, the more you look down. You see? But the point is, there's got to be a people someday that are looking down because they're really up. Now, none of these are up. Okay. Then sometimes in prayer, you can imagine when the Holy Spirit takes you in the sphere, then the whole thing looks like chaos. Then you come on back down. You seem like you're to the people, you're a rascal. You're nothing but just an old sarcastic fella. You're a fool because you stand like an old crank rebuking the people. But if you ever climb into those spheres one time when you can be in the presence of God, not through emotions, you see, but through genuine Holy Spirit, and that's the real anointing, see. The whole thing is written Ichabod. Now what's he saying here? Not through emotions. Why? Because emotions distort. Emotions distort. Overjoy distorts. Fear distorts. Greed distorts. Pride distorts. All those things distort. They're emotions. They're deep feelings. Traits. Now you get very happy. You get very depressed. You could be very happy thinking that everything was going to be fine and the next step you're going to break your neck. You could be very sorrowful thinking, hey, I'm in real trouble. Somebody sends you a check for $100,000. Emotions won't work. They distort. You can't stand the distortion. It's got to be Holy Ghost, see? The glory of the Lord is departed from the whole denomination of it. That's right. There's none of them that's right. That's why William Branham stopped praying for America in 1956. No way to pray for it. It's all over. Now, going on here, he explains what is going on and teaches it from the triunity of a man. Now, he said we get to that. What does this? Let me draw a little circle. By the blackboard, I want you to watch here. I'm going to make one ring like this. Now I'm going to make another ring inside the ring. That's two. Then I'll make a third ring inside that ring. That's three rings. Three circles make three rings, one within each other. Now that's you. That's God. God is a trinity in one. It's a triunity. Triune God. And without a triunity, he's not God. He used the word trinity, but that's not really right. The word is triunity, which I think he does use in certain places. He can't be manifested any other way. So the manifestation isn't a trinity because he's a triunity. Like our manifestation, son, husband, father, is the same as daughter, wife, and mother. It's all the same thing, but it's the same person. Neither can you be manifested without being the triune person that you are. See? That's body, soul, or body, spirit, soul. Without either one of them, you're not complete. See? If you don't have a soul, you'd be nothing. If you didn't have a spirit, you'd be nothing. If you didn't have a body, you'd be spirit, not a body. So God is complete in the triunity, now he says it, of a being. Not triunity of beings, but one being in a triunity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now notice, that's not three people. And that's not actually three forms. Because God's spirit. I'm sorry, that can't change. The form can change, but spirit can never change. Now, is one true manifested God. God, notice here, just wait. I believe I'll read just a few minutes ago. Listen to this. Unto the message of the church of Laodicea and write. These things saith the Amen, the faith and true innocence, the beginning of the creation of God. God himself is the creator. So how was he ever created? Well, who created God? Nobody. Why does it say then? But this is the beginning of the creation of God. When God the Spirit, now that's what he is, intrinsically, was created in the form of a man, that was God being created. Now that's what he's talking about. God creating himself in the form of a human being. God taking upon himself a form. That's what he's telling you. God the Creator, himself being becoming a creation. God who made the dirt, the calcium, made the potash, cosmic light, petroleum, took the thing together and created himself. In the beginning of the creation of God, the Amen, the final. Amen means so be it. The final of God, when God completed in his creation. In other words, this is a time of the end where God is winding up. Winding up to the Gentiles, winding up to the Jews. Because remember, seven follows six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seals. 5 is to the Jews, that breaks under 4 to the Gentiles. 6 is to the Jews, also breaking now to the Gentiles, because the 6th seal is open with the earthquake in Alaska. These things are going on. So therefore we find at the end time, what is the great, the beginning of the creation of God, the faith between us, the Amen, is telling you that God is winding down the program of creating himself in the human form. He's not dealing with people now. That's when it's all over. He's going to take them to a glorified state. But it's all started now, and it's winding down. How long is it going to take? How do I know? 1,000 years? 1,500? I don't know. Because you got the white throne, you got the judgment. You got the whole millennium. I don't know. But I know it started. See, that's where we differ with those who don't understand the presence and the rapture. We say we're started into it. Because if you're part of the shout, then you've got to be part of the resurrection. There's no two ways about it.
Amen.
See? All right. Now, how was it done? No man has seen God at any time. That's because you can't see him. But the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. Brought him into plain view, led out by words, made a complete presentation, a thorough description, and also by the human form, by what he did. All right. Do you get it? That's John 1:1-2 and verse 14. We just go back if you want. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That tells you right there. See? That very one. Now take on a human form. Say, just a minute. You're in no hurry. Let's turn to Colossians, just a minute. Just happened a scripture come in my mind. Turn to Colossians, book Colossians, I believe. First chapter. I'll have a look at this because I'm not, haven't premeditated it. So I'll look at it. For this cause, beginning at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's for this hour, see, but our hour is when the Spirit comes into revelation. That you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing the knowledge of God, strength and might with according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated, that is to, that's transfigured, to transfiguration, into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're getting there now, watch. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God. Get it? 15th verse. The firstborn of every creature. Amen. The what? The firstborn of every creature. Let it be angels. Let it be anyone. It may be. He's the firstborn of every creature. Now watch. For by him were all things created. So he's the head of everything that are in heaven, in earth, visible and invisible. Whether it be thrones, dominions, principality powers. All things created by him and for him. Let it be anything, it might be. No other being. That's right. See, he's got the headship. He is before all, and by him all things consist. Now watch. Whether it be Father, Son, Holy Ghost, whatever it is. Now you say, all right, there. You say, what do you got? You got four people there then. You got somebody there, then you got a Father there, you got a Son there. Holy. No, what he's telling you, this that started was before any of the dispensations of Father, Son, or Holy Ghost ever manifested. This was the beginning. This is where it started. See? God starting himself to become visible. From that time begin carrying on his magnificent plans. Until at the end, it'll all be there. And the one that created it is the one that maintains it, because it says all things by him exist. Consist, that means are maintained. And he is before all things. That's what he is. In other words, when there was nothing, he was there. So he's before all things. Then the light began to glow and come out. Now you begin to see God moving in a realm whereby he can begin to bring into being and physical manifestation everything that he so desires that lay within him. Before all things that are in heaven, earth, visible, invisible, anything. This Son of God was before all things. Is that right? Well, if he's God, certainly. What about the Holy Ghost? Certainly. What about Father? Certainly. Had to be all there somewhere. Yeah. You get a seed. You say, what is this seed? Well, I tell you, that seed is very, very peculiar. I'm going to tell you something about that seed. That seed is so tiny that you can barely see. So that's right. Well, I'll tell you something. That seed gets as big as the house before it's over. You say, now, just a minute. Are you going to tell me that everything in that little seed comes up big as the house? Sure. You start doing something with it. Well, it's got 4,000 different colors. It's got 150,000 different kind of attributes. It can be used for about 5 million different things if you want to figure them all out. Dr. Carver did that with the peanut. Where was it? It lay in that life, which is literally like a spirit. So you've got a spirit God. He can have a million titles and a million things. And he was there ahead of all of it. And when he manifests, he was already there to come on down and show you something down here. If you and I could see the pillar of fire, and there it is caught by camera. You see that pillar of fire wasn't there eternally. You're right, it wasn't. It's created. But what's inside of it? See? Brother Brown category, you said Elohim came down before the destruction. Who came down here then before Sodom and Gomorrah? Elohim. See? All right, you're just looking at what lies there. All right, all things is before him. By all things consist by him. There's nothing can make it run without him. See, that word is consist. Whether it's God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, whatever it is. Sure. Whether it's angels, principalities, power, dominion, whatever. It's all run by him. All things consist by him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. And who's down here now, head of the church? Can't raise the dead unless he's head of the church, the prophet said, so I believe the prophet. Said he comes down, said tell the head of the church in order to raise the dead. And then they try to tell me some people down the line believe in the presence. They don't even know what you're talking about. Because if he came down in a shout and to set himself at a church to raise the dead, then he better be here to raise the dead because the dead are here.
Amen.
That's right. He said marriage and divorce, you'll create again, not by sex. By natural creation, take the pot, ash, the oil, the cosmic rays, and all those things, and bring man out of the dust. Where is he? He's in the dust. The church won't even recognize him. Yeah. And entertain every little illegitimate running around the world. And the prophet said that's out. Okay, Judases, take your sop. Yeah, Judases. I like what Bob Brown said. Said back in Josephus, they said when they had a dinner, the host would take and dip the bread into the wine and give it to the choice guest. And who did Jesus give the sop to as the great guest? The one that cut his throat. And so who did he keep pandering to all the time, so to speak? The Pentecostals. So who crucified him? But just don't blame the Pentecostals. Let's get home. You say, well, what do you mean, Vale? I could be one of them to crucify him. Don't ever sell me short one way or the other, and I'm not selling you short one way or the other. 72 chairs and half filled tomorrow morning go 72 different directions, too. I'm not pessimistic. I'm just realistic. I'm not mealy-mouthed. I just tell you the truth. Right. I have to be mealy-mouthed, except to get a good meal out of this word. I don't get hurt by preaching rough, not 1 minute. You gotta try to back up what you preach. I can't back this word up, but I can stand with what I preach. Now he said, he is the head of the body of the church. Who is the beginning? Now who's the beginning? He is. The firstborn from the dead. And he before all? Sure, came a man, died. There's a mystery there. I don't worry about the mystery. Just thank God he was a man. That gives me representation. God, I get representation in God. I get representation in man. What more do I want? I got it made. You try to beat that. You can't do it. You're right with the things of God. All right. Firstborn of the dead. That is raised up when he came to redeem. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence, what does that mean? That means overall. He's over all things ever was created, every angel, every being, everything that is. It will be too, by the way. If there ever will be anything. He's over all things. What creature is this? Or can be over all, having made peace. Just a minute. For it pleased the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. All the fullness of all things. All the fullness of God. All the fullness of angels. All the fullness of time. All the fullness of eternity. Everything dwells in him. This is that fellow. What do you mean by that? It just means that's where it all started. It started to come into manifestation. And when it did, he made sure that through manifestation, all that was manifested came right back into a perfection. Who's doing it? God is by grace. Now, if he doesn't deserve, preeminence, you tell me who does. I just can't buy it. That's one thing I've told you time after time. It came in my mind. He's got to have preeminence or we'll never get a rapture, never get back to the garden. That's why, I believe that's why God keeps me preaching on the presence. See? Right or wrong, I'll tell you one thing. At least we talk about him in a way he deserves talking about. There's that great being we're talking about in the beginning of the creation of God. And now that church, that his very whole purpose was the church. That's beautiful. How do we get in this church? By one spirit, we're baptized into one body. The church, the body of Christ. It cannot fail. Now here's what happens. Now just watch this little figure to picture in here. Now this man is flesh on the outside. That's what we look at. What we see. It has five inlets to the body. Any grammar school child knows that. As well as myself. Would know there's five senses control the body. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. Without that, you can't touch the body. The only way you have to the body is through the senses. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. So, see it, taste it, feel it, and so on. Now that is the evil one on the outside. In other words, that's where all the trouble starts. It's not that the body of itself is evil. See? You can't take a little child and call it evil. It's innocent. But it soon becomes evil. Because he gets into sin then. In other words, there's where the thing gets moving. Now inside that spirit, which you become when you're born in here, that is when the baby drops down, and the spirit comes in. The breath of life is breathed into him. That spirit is of a worldly nature because it was not given from God, but it was given permitted by God. Now, that spirit then, well, Brother Branham did indicate it was possible that that could be one of the spirits that fell. Could be one of the spirits that didn't fall. I don't know. All I know, it's a spirit. I'm not going to conjecture. All I know is that evidently a baby does not have life, because life is a spirit. Until that spirit comes in, God allows it to come in, and then there's an evidence, not of simply movement, which is kicking muscles and all. There's the evidence of crying. There's those things that show and pertain to an awareness and a functioning within the universe where the child is placed. For every child is born, the world is born in sin. Shape and degree comes the world speaking lies. Is that right? All right, that's true. So that person inside there is a sinner to begin with. Now it has five inlets. See, that's the person got five on the outside, five more. I don't know whether I can call them off right now. Conscience, love, choice, thought, conscience, love, reason. Five inlets to the spirit. Okay? Now you got something from the outside. Things come in. You got something on the inside. Things come in. Number two. Then, you can't think without your body. You can't think with your body, rather. You have to think with your spirit. You can't have conscience in your body. It has no mental faculties at all. Your body doesn't. So you have to think with your spirit. In other words, the mind and the spirit are one. They're joined together. You have to reason. You can't reason with your physical being because reason doesn't see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Reason is what you make in your mind. If you're asleep or you're out, your body's lying there, dead as it were. Your spirit can still reason. Five senses control the man. Now to the last man, that's the soul. One, two, three now, see? There's only one sense that controls that. That's free moral agency, free will to choose or reject. Now, that's true, but there's something else in there, don't worry. You got the right there, but there's also something in there. Now the reason that people today, now don't forget this now, we'll see what the initial name of the Holy Ghost is. Now people can live in the Spirit, dance in the Spirit. Well, that's right, they live and dance in it, sure. Won't walk, but maybe. Shout in the Spirit, go to church in the Spirit, can be absolutely, have the real Spirit of God anointed on the Spirit, that's the second one inside, but still be lost and just as devil-possessed as they can be with that Spirit. In other words, you can be anointed in that Spirit, on your Spirit, and be devil-possessed, like that woman. Pentecost, a whole bunch. Now, see, religious. Watch. That's the reason you couldn't tell the woman her wearing shorts is wrong. You couldn't tell her bobbing her hair was wrong. Well, what has hair got to do with it? It's like Samson had a Nazarite vow. You've got, now he said, listen, whosoever will add one word or take this or take a word, you've got to have an ultimate somewhere. Now, what was the woman's ultimate that led her by a spirit to go astray? What was her ultimate? Methodist Church. Pentecostal had a Pentecostal. Baptist had a Baptist. Now, for instance, if I was a Baptist man, you came and told me to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in the Bible. First thing I'd say, I'll ask my pastor. I go to pastor and say, oh, there's something back there. See, we Baptists, here's what we believe. We believe that we should be immersed in titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the way the church did it. John Smith found it. That's the way it's done. What's your ultimate? Not what the Word of God says, what the pastor says. Now, I'm going to have to quit here because our tape's running out and time's gone. Now, look, we'll start there next week, if I'm here next week, and I'd like you will be. I don't intend to leave this world yet, and I don't know if I'm going to get away for any vacations. So we're going to get in here on page 18. We'll backtrack a little bit over the body, soul, and spirit, and we'll begin to see why people do what they do. We'll begin to see why we are what we are. Why there's no way anybody can change us and we've got nothing to do with it. Why we're going to keep on believing the way we're going.